I'll let you take a moment to let the reality set in. Truman Show, Ed TV, movie battle begins now.
Welcome to Movie Battle. Each episode, superfans battle it out to see which film is best. Here's your host, Kevin Armstrong.
What is up, party people? Welcome to Movie Battle. I'm your host, Kevin Armstrong. This is episode 22, The Truman Show versus Ed TV, a classic battle of late 90s movies set in the reality TV world that at the time we had some experience with, but did not quite see where it would be headed 20 plus years later. We have some great super fans today. Adam and Brooke from the A-Side B-Side podcast are joining us again. We'll bring them out in just a few moments, but first, here are some quick facts and tidbits. The Truman Show is directed by Peter Weir, written by Andrew Niccol, stars Jim Carrey, Laura Linney, Noah Emmerich, Natasha McElhaum, Holland Taylor, Ed Harris, Paul Giamatti, and Harry Shearer. It was released June 5th, 1998, with a budget of $60 million and a box office of $264.1 million. The Truman Show has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 95%. Ed TV was directed by Ron Howard. It's written by Lowell Gantz and Babalu Munel, starring Matthew McConaughey, Jenna Elfman, Woody Harrelson, Ellen DeGeneres, Sally Kirkland, Martin Landau, Rob Reiner, Dennis Hopper, Elizabeth Hurley, Clint Howard, and Harry Shearer. Ed TV was released March 26, 1999, the budget of $80 million, box office of $35.2 million. Ed TV has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 64%. Kind of a box office flop, Ed TV, and no award nominations to speak of. The Truman Show, on the other hand, was nominated for the Best Picture Golden Globe as well as Best Director. Jim Carrey and Ed Harris actually won Golden Globes for Best Actor and Best Supporting Actor, respectively. Ed Harris was nominated for Best Supporting Actor Academy Award. Peter Weir was nominated for the Best Director Academy Award. Andrew Niccol for the Best Screenplay. Roger Ebert compared Truman Show to Forrest Gump, saying it was the right balance of comedy and drama and gave it 4 stars. Truman Show was actually originally a sci-fi thriller set in New York City called The Malcolm Show. And originally it was going to be the directorial debut for Andrew Niccol, but then Brian De Palma was attached. And eventually it was directed by Peter Weir. We'll be right back with the superfans. Welcome back to Movie Battle. Our next guest is making his second appearance. Adam Weingarten from Minnesota, who lives with his dog Lorelei and children, currently works as a public address announcer for high school sports and as a bartender and server, and he's the co-host of the podcast, A-Side, B-Side. Adam, welcome back to Movie Battle.
Thank you for having me, Kevin.
Adam, now... The last time you were here, and I've gone back and listened to, you know, every one of these episodes, and the hardest I've ever laughed, you know, recorded history, is when I asked you who plays you in a movie about your life, and you said Fat Topher Grace.
I mean, it's true. I mean, that 70s show was my era in high school, and everybody said I looked like Topher Grace, and now I am not that 119-pound kid anymore, so. Topher's going to have to put on some weight if he's going to pull off the role.
Oh, man. Well, you know, it's kind of like De Niro, you know, Raging Bull, putting on the pound. He gained the weight, lost the weight.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Charlize Theron did it for that monster movie.
Exactly.
You know, it's a great way to get a nomination. So if you're gonna tackle a, you know, man child that is Adam Weingarten, you're gonna have to put on some weight to make it work.
Well, when we come with the first, the inaugural Movie Battle Award, you're definitely, I got two nominations for you. One is best star
portrayal. And the one that you are a shoo-in to win is my next one, because you have the most in-depth and perfect analysis of your go-to movie snack, the Pop Secret microwave popcorn. If you want to remind our listeners out there.
Oh, gosh. I mean, I will tell you, I just had it before this. I actually pre-gamed with Pop Secret microwave popcorn. Movie theater butter only. Sometimes butter lovers, if you can find the right one. But in the real key there is everybody thinks you just hit the popcorn button, but you got to figure out what the popcorn button time is and then take about like 10, 15, 20 seconds off, because then you get a little bit more butter. You don't pop all the kernels. So you want a perfect butter to kernel ratio. So you want to have less kernels. So you actually want to have more Old Maids in the bag than you think.
Wow, that is a great lesson that we all needed to know. You're like the mad scientist, the master popcorn chef.
Yeah, when it's a strong part of your personal food pyramid, you learn these things. So.
Very nice, very nice. All right, well, Adam, you know, when we were talking about doing this this battle, you told me you saw this movie three times the opening weekend. So
yes.
You are a Truman Show super fan. What is it you love so much about the film?
Well, I mean, probably because it connected with me so much at the time that it came out. I was a senior in high school, going to be a senior in high school. And I was feeling a lot of that same sort of on the verge of something, trying to figure out life. It's always been planned for me. I've had to follow the rules. I've got these godlike figures controlling my life, whether it's the school or it's my parents. And Truman's going through the same thing. And so here I am as this, you know, person that's about to become an adult. And there's this entire allegory that is playing out in front of me of someone going through the same scenario and trying to, and their entire life has felt perfectly written. And I grew up in I was very blessed to be in a, you know, regular middle-class family. I never wanted for anything. I mean, we didn't, you know, go on, you know, European vacations all the time or ever, but, you know, I never wanted for anything. I was happy. I was always taken care of. I was very lucky to have loving parents, but I also felt like maybe I was kind of trapped in this world that was a little too easy and a little too perfect and a little too controlled. And I wanted to find a little bit more chaos and adventure and sail that boat out into the water and find out how far I could go, but was never allowed to do it. So for me, the overarching themes of the Truman Show, of this person wanting to have an adventure and wanting to discover what life is and wanting more than a seemingly perfect existence, absolutely hit me as a 17-year-old on the verge of adulthood.
That's amazing, Adam. That's very well said. I think a lot of us, you know, feel that way, especially at that age. I too, you know, grew up in a, you know, good middle class, both parents, just safe neighborhood, didn't worry about, you know, never worried about that kind of stuff. And, yeah, you know, there's something else out there, and it is a battle.
And I've rewatched The Truman Show, you know, many times over the years, but in the last year when I've rewatched it, and I think I've watched it probably three times, because it's like, much like microwave popcorn is for me, it is a comfort feeling, a comfort media. There's a lot of comfort media out there, stuff that like you've seen before, you know what to expect, and it's just going to make you feel good. And rewatching The Truman Show in the last year has brought an entirely different layer to it, because now the entire world feels trapped in this bubble. We've all been under quarantine and restrictions, and we're dealing with the pandemic, and we feel kind of like our life is not in our control anymore. And that gave an entire another layer of the Truman Show for me. And I've noticed that throughout my life, each time I watch the Truman Show at a different stage of my life, it connects in a different way. And I think that is the overarching theme, that this story is so universal and it is so true to a very gut feeling and a primal part of, you know, who people are and our desire for more and questioning and adventure and sometimes feeling trapped, that no matter where you are in your life, whether that's, you know, being a high school kid or stuck in a job or going through a divorce or stuck in a pandemic. There are all these times when you can use this movie and connect with it. And that is a really powerful thing. When you can have the same story, but as your life changes, you can learn something new or you'd feel it differently every time. That is a very magical thing to be able to do.
I agree, man. Adam, you are totally bringing your A game tonight. Let me go ahead and get that out of the way. And that's great. And I like how you brought up, you know, watching the movie at different points in your life, different ages. And I've always felt that way, whether it's an album that I liked when I was a child and just, you know, I just liked the beats and then I, you know, could appreciate the lyrics. And then when I could experience like that or a movie or TV show, even when I was the same age as the artist or the characters, like, you know, I remember watching Seinfeld as a kid.
Yeah.
And then, you know, loving it. And then once I realized, oh, wow, I am the same age as this character. Oh, my goodness. But, you know, and just seeing different things. And you're spot on, you know, with your Truman Show analysis there. And just these, you know, these times that we've lived in this past year. Man, that was amazing. Thank you so much.
And one more, like, just to kind of build off of that. And another, you know, as we're talking about life and how it changes your perception of a movie. I remember when I first saw The Truman Show, I hated Ed Harris's character. I felt he was so controlling and he reminded me of my parents and the church and the school and everything. I just wanted to rebel against it. And now, going on 23 years later, I see where Christoph is coming from. I've got two kids who are teenagers now, and instead of him being this like controlling, like evil Machiavellian figure who's doing it all for the ratings, you see the care and it's the overprotective and the controlling, but there is a love there and that wanting to save somebody from pain and being able, like, if I could create a bubble and try to control all the outcomes for my children, I might try to do it. Because you always want to protect your kids. And so to be able to grow as a person and then see a character that I used to hate, and now I've come to, you know, at least empathize with or see where he's coming from. And part of that is Ed Harris just does such a great job in almost anything that he does, but especially in this role. That's, for me, been the biggest change. Like, I've always loved, you know, Jim Carrey and the main character, you know, his journey. But I didn't really get Christoph until I became a parent myself.
And again, well said, Adam. Well said. All right. Well, Adam, you know, you're giving us some amazing thoughts on Truman Show. Was there anything you didn't understand or anything you would change?
I mean, I think that if Truman Show were going to be made again, you couldn't get away with, like, there's just no way that the public wouldn't be doing more to get to Truman. In the movie, there are some protests, there's a little bit, but it's all very surface level. I mean, there's just no way that people wouldn't be, like, we had people saying they were going to storm Area 51, and we don't even know that there's people in there. If there was actually a person growing up on a soundstage, there would be a lot more people trying to get in there and get him out. So that's probably the one thing, is that it just seemed, and that's the suspension of disbelief, but it is a very, you know, disturbing commentary on society that a corporation could adopt a child.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying.
So that, all right. I mean, that's probably the part that is always been the most suspension of disbelief. Like, I could see somebody not knowing they're living in a sound set, but with the rule of law, a corporation being able to adopt a person. But then again, corporations are considered, you know, to have rights now. So who knows?
That's a good point. you told me last time that your father is a huge movie buff. What did he think of the show?
Well, that was the really cool part about going three times in one weekend. I went on Friday night with my high school girlfriend at the time, and we really enjoyed it with a group of friends. And then on Saturday, I went with my father, and he really liked it. He actually, I believe, used some scenes from it later. He was a communication professor, now retired. I believe he used some scenes from it to talk about interpersonal communication and mass media communication in class. And then it was I think, if I remember correctly, Truman Show was the first movie I ever went to by myself. Because on wow. Sunday, I just wanted to see it again. And I just went by myself. And that turned into one thing I love doing is going to movies by myself, because then I can just enjoy it. I don't have to talk about it, or somebody doesn't elbow you and be like, what just happened? I was like, I don't know. I'm here with you. We just saw the same thing. I don't know any more than you do. It was the very first one that I saw three times in one weekend, and the first time I experienced a movie in the theater by myself, and fell in love with just that entire idea.
All right. Well, that that is awesome. I can't say I've never gone three times. The only time I've seen a movie twice, and I've mentioned this many times, I saw Wayne's World twice the day it came out.
Nice. So just,
it's about, I was in eighth grade.
Off topic then. So have you seen these new like Uber Eats commercials with Wayne and Garth?
I have.
How does that hit you?
I'm a sucker for anything like that. That is right in my wheelhouse. You got that. You got the tag team.
Oh yeah, the scoop. Team. There it is. Yes.
Oh yeah.
I mean, somebody on Twitter was like, with the night of the Grammys, they're like, I'm only watching to see if Scoop There It Is gets a nomination.
Right. Yeah. It's you know, and we've been streaming so much the last few years that, you know, it's kind of like, there hasn't been any great commercials,
yeah,
you know, like from the past, and it's like they're kind of making a comeback. You got that. There's a great Grubhub commercial with like computer animated dancing.
Oh, yeah. That one. And like, very catchy.
My kids can, like, my daughter can pretty much beatbox that whole commercial, and I'm expected to dance on demand when that comes on, or when they do that.
That feels like that should be a TikTok thing.
Yeah, that would be my first one, and I think that would possibly go viral.
That'd be a hit. Just a kid just popping up, and you're like in the middle of like, you know, changing the oil. All of a sudden, ah, crap! I gotta dance.
Right. All right, Adam. Getting back to the Truman Show. Before we get out of here, you know, we always go out on our favorite quote. You get one. What is your favorite quote from the Truman Show?
That is tough.
Tough.
And I knew this was coming, and I should have been better prepared. But I guess, like, I'm probably going to cop out, and it's the, you know, the one where he gets out and he, you know, says, good morning, and if I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. And that's, like, the one that always, I think that's the most famous little line from the Truman Show, because it came from the trailer, and it was, like, when everybody knew that it was, you know, going to kind of be a different type of show. So that's probably the one I'm going to go with.
All right. Well, that's about as perfect as it gets, and a good way for us to go out. Thanks again, Adam. You definitely brought your A game, and I'm looking forward to the movie battle.
Thank you.
Excuse me while I interrupt your movie battle for just one second. I've got a question for you. Do you like true crime, blood, guts, gore, murder? Maybe you like nostalgia, you know, watching those old movies, or you see that guy and you're like, hey, I know that guy, he's that guy from... Well, if you do, once you finish Movie Battle, head on over to A-Side B-Side Podcast with Brooke and Adam. We'd love to have you.
Welcome back to Movie Battle. Our next guest is making her second appearance. Brooke Summers from Buffalo, New York, attended University of Buffalo and Austin Peay State University, is a member of BET, currently resides in Bowling Green, Kentucky, where she works in radio. Brooke is also the co-host of the A-Side B-Side podcast. Brooke, welcome back to Movie Battle.
Pleasure to be back, Kevin. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And, you know, we're getting famous for our opening question. We always ask, how would your parents describe what you do for a living? And I believe last time your mother said she would be like, you get paid for that?
And she would still say that, yeah.
Very cool, very cool. we always ask, who would play you in a movie about your life? And I believe you said, was it Zendaya?
Oh gosh, I would maybe a younger version of me. That would be great. Yeah.
All right. Well, okay. Right now, who would play you in a movie about your life?
Probably Zoe Saldana.
Okay, that's cool. Excellent choice. Excellent choice.
Thanks.
All right, and why don't you go ahead and let our listeners out there know what is your go-to movie snack?
Well, hopefully, we'll all be.
Nachos, maybe?
Yeah, it's nachos, of course. Absolutely. 100%. That will never change. Nachos with the jalapenos. And I am so looking forward to getting back into a theater, Kevin. Like, I am dancing. You know, like that dance that you do when you got to use the bathroom? I'm doing that because I'm so excited to get back to the theater soon.
And I'll go ahead and mention this. Adam and I were talking about the Grubhub commercial where all the like computer animated characters just start dancing for their food. my children have grown fond of that, and they pretty much can make the sound. They can sing the song themselves, and they make me dance on demand for that. So, yeah, it's a thing. It happens. I'm feeling you as far as the dancing, because I'm getting a lot of practice.
If there's no video, we don't believe you. We gotta have video.
I was told that that should be a TikTok video, so I'd have to.
That
I'd
would be
to,
a great TikTok.
I have to do that whole app store and download it and figure all that out again. So it might be too much for an old guy like me. We'll see. I got the sore knees though. That should be. Proof enough, but you know, I'll see what I can do. All right, you are an EdTV super fan. What is it you love so much about the film?
First of all, Matthew McConaughey, Woody Harrelson together, because separately I find them very hilarious. Anyway, I love Matthew McConaughey. I think he's very versatile, but he's always really good in a comedy. It's funny to think that he started off in comedy and he has done such serious roles like A Time to Kill and, Dallas Buyers Club. So he can do serious, but I think his wheelhouse, his forte is always going to be rom-coms and just comedies in general.
Oh, no doubt. Yeah. I got to say, McConaughey rom-com, I'm there.
100%.
That is my wife and I will watch. What's the one? Gold Fool's Gold or Gold Rush or something?
Gold Rush, yes.
Gold Rush, yes. if that's on, or How to Change a Guy in 10 Days, Failure to Launch, all of them.
Yeah, Wedding Planner. I mean,
our actual first official date was Ghost of Girlfriend's Past.
Oh wow!
Yeah, and my wife actually asked me, "Is like, is this a date?" And I said, I'm afraid so. we had been friends for a while, and we had been hanging out, and yeah, it happened. But yeah, McConaughey was definitely involved.
McConaughey kicked off that relationship right there.
Absolutely. And, you know, speaking of McConaughey and Harrelson, you know, great in comedies, and then True Detective season one, it's like, it's up there, you know, as one of the great, if you count it as just one series, you know, mini series or whatever, it might be the greatest. It's up there.
Oh yeah. And those two together, like, you're like, wow, they can do serious together too. Like, it's amazing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. How old were you the first time you saw EdTV?
Oh gosh. It came out in 99. I was late teens, early 20s.
Yeah, that sounds right. That sounds about right. That's what I remember. Okay. Did you learn anything from EdTV?
I learned always have some dirt ready to get you out of a situation.
That's a good lesson to learn. Very good life skill. It's survival of the fittest out there.
Or as the kids say these days, be ready to spill some tea about someone if you need to get out of a situation.
Oh gosh, that just made me feel old. I don't know if I know that one. My kids are 6 and my daughter will be 5 in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And yeah, I'm just worried about what's going to be the hip stuff that they say.
Oh gosh, I can only imagine.
Oh gosh, I'm in for it. Oh gosh, yeah, I don't know if I'll survive. Our daughter already, when she was two, had on like some boots and a dress and a hat, and my wife was like, "Well, we are might as well go ahead and buy her a ticket to West Palm Beach for spring break."
As Dad gets a job as a security guard.
Exactly. You better believe it. All right. Was there anything you didn't understand about EdTV or anything you would change?
Well, I guess, can we do spoilers since it is such an old movie?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I think the only thing that I would change is maybe, you know, the ending, they cut it off. His plan works and he gets off the TV, of course, with his dirt before it airs. But why not air the dirt? I mean, I think it would have been really funny to air the dirt, or they cut it as he gets part of the dirt out and then they cut it. I don't know. I just think that would have been a little, it would have added to the humor of the movie.
Right. See, now The Bachelor, they learned that lesson. And so when they do after the final rose, they do show the dirt. So, you know, I think you're ahead of your time in recognizing that.
Yeah. See,
now the industry standard.
Yeah. People want the dirt. People want that dirt.
That is for sure. All right. Well, Brooke, it's kind of cool. Like, you know, just back then, you know, this is, you know, late 90s, and, you know, we'd had The Real World and Road Rules and all that stuff. And I got to say, I did not see all of this reality TV coming. You know, we had both of these movies, this Truman Show. And it's just, it's amazing how, you know, with technology and the times just change. I mean, it's like the old joke, like, you know, your math teacher said, you're not always going to have a calculator in your pocket. And we do. Everybody has a calculator and a camera and can show every part of their life at all times. It's just amazing. And just, you know, this past year, just kind of being in our own bubbles.
I think that especially in this last year, well, with the invention of, first of all, if you would have told me in 99 that reality TV would still be going in 2021, I would have been like, okay, come on. There's only so much we can take.
Right.
But I think especially in this last year, everybody has become their own reality show. Like if you look at TikTok, everybody's become a version, which that's all reality TV is. You're a version of yourself. And that's what people are. I mean, people have put their, of course it started with Facebook and then with Instagram and Snapchat. You have become your own reality show. And now with TikTok, not only are you that reality show, but now you are able to express other talents that nobody would have been able to see before.
That's very true. Yeah. That's kind of one of the cool things, you know, you know, stuff like TikTok and YouTube and social media in general sometimes gets a bad rap and just, you know, people talk bad about it. But it's actually kind of cool just to think that, like, we have the ability to do all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of, sometimes you have to go through a lot of mediocrity and not the greatest stuff, but you find some gems out there. And like you said, everybody has some kind of talent. And now there's unique ways to get that shown to the entire world.
Yeah.
So kind of cool. Kind of cool times we live in.
It's cool and scary all in one.
Yeah, that's a better way to put it. much better way to put it. All right, Brooke. Well, before we get out of here, we always have each guest go out with their favorite quote from the movie. So what is your one favorite quote from EdTV?
Ooh. Okay, so Cynthia, who is played by Ellen DeGeneres, is a really funny character in this. And one of her funnier quotes, she's talking about how these networks, they spend millions and millions and millions of dollars on these reality shows nowadays. But back then, when it wasn't like such a big deal, I don't know if they were really putting that much money into it. So one of her quotes is like, we don't have money in the budget for coffee filters. We're using a yarmulke. I just thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, that's a classic line. Ellen DeGeneres, she doesn't. I think she's kind of underrated. You know, she has, for her to be such a huge, megastar or whatever, like, she's got the chops.
You know, she does. This past year, all of that aside, when it comes to comedy, I think people do, because she has become known as Ellen, the talk show host. Ellen likes to give away money, and Ellen likes to do this and that. People forget how genuinely funny she is at just stand up and ad lib and delivering lines. And even her most recent stand up, which is a couple years old now, I think it happened right before the pandemic. I mean, it was hilarious. And she'd been away from stand up for years. So I do agree with you. I do think that she is underrated of her acting and comedy abilities. I think we forget.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think she's very underrated, and, just, rewatching this recently, I'd kind of forgotten myself, and that's what made me think of that. So I mean, look at you, quoting her. So, that's your favorite quote. I mean, that's your go-to line. So, all right. Well, Brooke, once again, thank you so much for coming on here. We'll definitely want to have you back real soon, and best of luck to you in the movie battle.
Well, thank you.
All right, party people, it's the moment you've been waiting for. Time for the movie battle. Up first, representing the Truman Show, my man, Adam Weingarten. Adam, talk to me.
Well, Kevin, I am lucky enough to be able to kind of have an absolutely easy job here, because one of these two movies is an all-time classic that made more in its first 2 days in the box office than the other movie made in its entire existence. So it makes it kind of easy for me to be able to talk about The Truman Show, which has some of the best performances of actors' careers, like Jim Carrey and Harris. It also was nominated for many more awards and has universal themes that last throughout the decades, whereas EdTV really just has Matthew McConaughey, which I will give EdTV this. Their cast is much better looking. Everything else, they are second place.
Whoa, just Matthew McConaughey? You got Ellen DeGeneres, you got Woody Harrelson, you got Martin Landau.
Yes, they're all very good-looking people, especially Martin.
They're big names.
Okay.
They are big names, but they're not given a lot to do. I mean, Matthew, go ahead. Go ahead, Kevin.
Go ahead, Adam. Continue on.
I was just going to say, Matthew gets to spend the entire movie kind of bumbling through in his McConaughey early, late 90s, early 2000s way, looking dashing and being slightly charming. But other than that, there's really nothing about EdTV that makes you think about the bigger picture or thinks about life other than, gosh, Matthew McConaughey is really attractive.
It makes you think it your privacy, because imagine every moment of your life, like these reality people do, is filmed every moment.
But
you can't get a moment's peace.
It's the biggest difference between the two, though. I mean, Truman, his entire life is being filmed every moment. The biggest difference is Ed in EdTV asked for this. He sought it out. He does things within the movie to increase his ratings. I have a hard time.
Which is what they do on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette until they realize this is not what I thought I was signing up for. This happens in real life. That's the lesson here. This is what happens in real life. You get suckered in by this promise of whatever by these producers and all this money. And then you realize, oh crap, they lied to me. And it's not at all what I thought it was going
to
be.
But is it not more nefarious to never have the choice, to have it thrust upon you and have your entire life be a lie that you only figure out at the very end when you sail off into the distance and the distance is a wall at the end of the ocean? Isn't that a little bit more traumatic?
First of all, I didn't say it wasn't nefarious at all. I just said you are signing up for one thing and you are totally misled. It's like when people go into the military and the recruiter promises you one thing and then you get into the military and you find out life is completely different.
I am at a loss there because my entire military experience was I signed up to get a free keychain when I was 18. And then they called and they said, would you like to join? And I said, no, I just wanted the keychain and I'm a theater major. And they said, have a nice day.
All right. Okay. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, we're joined tonight with Adam Weingarten and Brooke Summers from the A-Side B-Side podcast. Adam, thank you for that. Great.
Yeah, sorry about just like kind of cutting open a vein there.
That was just a thing of beauty, both of you. we've been throwing around terms like bringing a game, and y'all both are just.
I gotta tell you, my Apple Watch just notified me that my heart rate is up. I have not been yelled at by Brooke like that in a while, so just gonna send you the bill for next week's therapy.
All right, well, Brooke, you know you've chimed in. Why don't you give us your opening pitch for EdTV? You haven't already said.
Right. Well, the thing that I like about EdTV is, aside from the nefarious plot, it's. Everybody loves a good comedy. Everybody wants to feel good and have a happily ever after, so to speak. And that's what EdTV delivers. It's going to give you some good laughs. It's going to give you some, as we talked about earlier, Kevin, some spilt tea. And then you walk away feeling satisfied because you've got your happily ever after.
Well said. Well said, Brooke. You know, both of these movies are cast so well. Y'all both just went over, who was in each one and on a, look scale and everything. And we got some heavy hitters in both of these movies. I always like to make some fantasy football trades. I mean, what if we swapped out McConaughey and Jim Carrey? What if Jim Carrey is there and knows he's being filmed and just doing his thing, mugging for the camera, just doing Jim Carrey stuff?
I mean, this is going to sound weird because which side I am promoting, but I honestly think if we swap the two, McConaughey could pull off Truman better than Jim Carrey could pull off Ed.
I'm going to agree. I feel like if Jim Carrey did Ed, it's going to end up like an Ace Ventura movie.
Yeah, and that's why it was so interesting at the time that the Truman Show came out, because all we'd ever seen from Jim Carrey was Mad TV and Ace Ventura and The Mask and that type of just really over the top comedy. And here he's suddenly understated and thoughtful, and he does so much with silence and with his facial expressions and his eyes that you wouldn't expect from somebody who's like, oh, righty that, you know. So that was, I think, partly how different he was in this role and how big a change that was made it even a bigger deal at the time. I would be very interested to see McConaughey's version of Truman. I think it would be very different. I also think if we recast them, or we took the same cast and mixed it all together, like it was like a Scrabble board, like they do in Sneakers, and we kind of try to make a new cast, right. Swapping Ed Harris and Ellen DeGeneres would be an interesting swap too. Because now you've got a slightly different, I mean, Ellen could be seen either come off harsh as the Kristoff character or more of a motherly figure. Whereas Ed Harris comes off as this sort of, grumpy dad controlling. And so you wonder how people would react to that. Would the audience gravitate more towards Ellen, or would they actually be further away from her because sometimes people can't handle a strong female lead?
Interesting take.
That's very interesting. And I kind of like the idea of seeing Ed Harris in a very comedic role like that. It reminds me of, this is very random, but John Malkovich hosted Saturday Night Live once and just was like, I think reading like a children's book. It's just the funniest thing to me. So I always like people who just kind of, out of the box things, which is what they were trying for. And Brooke, like we were discussing before earlier, McConaughey has just became this Academy Award winning dramatic actor, and great romantic lead. And I think he would totally knock it out of the park in the Truman Show role.
The only thing that, and I hate to keep coming back to this, I think that what helped Jim Carrey in the sort of it's an everyman role is Jim Carrey's not a bad looking guy. He's a pretty good looking guy, but he's not like world's sexiest man good looking. Whereas McConaughey definitely is. And so that may have made people feel a little less connected to that Truman Boobank role, where he's kind of supposed to be the normal, average, nice, everyman.
That's well said. Very well said. You know, the plot of both of these movies, living in the reality age and just the idea of kind of a Big Brother, excuse the, you know, generic Big Brother reference there, but just, you know, the eye in the sky and just having someone's entire life filmed and people just hanging on the edge of the seat to see that. And I guess the Bachelor is the biggest reality show we have these days. And it's, you know, it's not nearly as big as it ever was. And I guess, you know, this past year they don't have, people aren't having the viewing parties and stuff like they used to.
Well, and I think for me, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but I do this all the time. Brooke will let you know. The thing that always pops up to me when I think of reality TV show, and I think we're all kind of the same era, but was The Real World on MTV, and how that was really the first time I'd ever seen, like, you know, five strangers come together, and this is what happens when people stop being nice and start being real, and how that kind of changed, you know, the entire reality TV show spectrum. And then I saw an ad just the other day that the main cast, like the first cast from the first season,
New York cast,
is getting back together, and it's just kind of, everything's kind of coming full circle. But MTV feels like the natural progression of that from a reality standpoint, and Truman Show feels like the, I mean, it's not science fiction, but it's very much more like the what
if. It's the Black Mirror
version. Yeah, yeah. It's like this, it's taking taking that beginning thread and going on two very different timelines. And where could they be? We've got like the good reality, the bad reality, but they're both, you know, good and bad. It's like in Community when they talk about the darkest timeline. Truman Show might be the darkest timeline.
Oh, that Black Mirror reference, that just, I think I might start doing a whole new segment like Black Mirror reference.
Yeah.
Film. Like, the first thing I thought of was the one where they could, everybody could like go back and rewind and see what that person did. Mm. Like the guy who's just the one, the person, the wife laughing at dinner, and he ends up finding out that he wasn't the father of his child.
Yeah, it's a wild, wild ride on that. Whoa. I mean, and that's the thing, that, you know, reality TV could totally take you on this totally dark journey. I mean, and you kind of see a little bit of that in EdTV when, you know, it's a really, you think, who wants to watch someone's everyday ordinary life? And then Ed goes to his brother's house and finds that his brother, I mean, that's people's everyday lives. And that's why it became so popular. But that also would be the Black Mirror part of it, because you're finding out all the dark, dirty secrets.
Yeah, I always wanted, when Truman Show came out, that was when Jerry Springer was a big deal. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if y'all remember when they had the Jerry Springer like video, the Too Hot for TV.
Oh yeah.
I was hoping that Saturday Night Live would do a like Truman Show Too Hot for TV.
Because you know, there's always something. They kind of Pleasantville'd it up. They didn't. You know, they kept to the big themes, and they didn't talk about all like the little stuff that probably, you know, had happened. But that could, I mean, one of my favorite plays of all time is Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead. And it is by, I'm never going to remember his name. I think it's Tom Stoppard. But it basically takes these two minor characters from Hamlet and then writes an entire play of what they're doing when they're not in Hamlet. And they're just like hanging out backstage, like kind of like, where did these guys go when they're not in these two scenes? You could do an entire like Disney Plus or HBO Max series of like behind the scenes of the Truman Show, like everybody just trying to make it work while the play is while the movie's happening, like all the stuff that happens and how does that happen? I think that would be a really interesting series.
Yeah, I would watch that. I'd be all over that. That's right at my wheelhouse. I'm a pretty simple man. Tastes.
So I know we've kind of bounced back and forth, and I don't think that I have convinced Brooke, and I honestly don't know that I will ever convince Brooke, but my final weapon or piece of information is actually a medical diagnosis that has come out because of one of these two movies. So it is called the Truman Show Delusion, which is informally known as Truman Syndrome. It is a type of delusion where the person believes their lives are a staged reality shows and they are being watched on camera. It was coined in 2008 by two psychiatrists, Joel Gold and Ian Gold. One is a psychiatrist, one is a neurophilosopher, and they named it after the Truman Show. So this happened nearly 10 years after the movie. They could have picked the Truman Show or EdTV to describe this delusion. And these two guys with several like initials at the end of their name.
But could they though?
They could have.
But could they though? No, because if you feel like your life is a staged show, his life wasn't staged. He was living his actual life, whereas Truman's show, his life was staged. There was really only one choice in that.
So they didn't stage things on EdTV. They did. They staged the Elizabeth Hurley character who shows up.
His entire life. They staged one element of EdTV as opposed to an entire lifetime.
So you're saying that it makes more sense that the Truman Show was the inspiration for this diagnosis.
Yeah.
I'm smiling. You can't hear that.
Yeah, but that doesn't prove that it's a better movie.
I'm just saying, science, you know, science gonna science.
Yeah, we would have also gone with, all right. Yeah.
I can't do it nearly as well as he can. But, I mean, when I was a kid, that was the thing everybody said. That and anything from Austin Powers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and before the internet, correct, because I believe you said Jim Carrey referenced Mad TV.
Yeah.
Earlier. I think
you meant Living Color. Yeah. Mad TV was later.
People will.
Yeah, that's okay. It's not the first time I've said something that was incorrect today in this podcast.
All right. Well, Brooke, what is your final take on EdTV besides what you just said?
Well, no, there is not a medical diagnosis based on EdTV. But I think, like you said, Kevin, or like we talked about, EdTV is the natural progression of reality TV. I think it's much more relatable. Yeah, I mean, we would all tune in to see somebody's life stage from the very beginning, but the thought of like actually living through that, as opposed to people are like, oh yeah, I would go on TV, I would live EdTV's life, I mean, I would do this, I would do that. I just feel like EdTV is more relatable, therefore making it better.
I will agree that it is more relatable. I don't think it makes it better.
As we say each week on A Side B Side, you have your side, I have mine.
Well, speaking of A Side B Side, how are things going?
Oh, good. We just hit episode number 36. It is Outbreak of Murder with Rotten Mary Cotton. So if you have never had a chance to listen to A Side B Side podcast, it is two totally different sides, like two sides of a cassette. So Adam has the A side, A for Adam. I have the B side, B for Brooke. My side is completely true crime. I talk about different cases you've probably never heard of. I go for cases that are not well known. They're not popular. Everybody knows Ted Bundy. Everybody knows Ed Gein. Everybody knows, you know, Son of Sam. But you might not know about Mary Cotton, or you might not know about Nanny Doss. So those are the stories that I focus on the B side.
And then on the A side, after we talk about all that death, I try to think of something that's less deathy, usually related to some sort of older pop culture, media, movies, music, entertainment. Try to find stories or background that you haven't heard before. Little known things about something like, you know, 10 things you didn't know about Jurassic Park, or who are the best fake presidents in movies. Usually something that I like to think of as like the oral Tic Tac. Or audio Tic Tac. Let's not say oral Tic Tac. That's already Tic Tacs are already oral. They go in your mouth. An audio Tic Tac to kind of give you a little freshener after all that death.
Well, it's not necessarily though, because we do swap each week.
Right. Yeah. Sometimes I go first, and I hate going first.
That has been mentioned. Yes. That's we have data showing that to be
quite true.
But less deathy. I love that. That's some merchandise. I can't wait to see
A-side,
that.
Less deathy.
All right. Well, Brooke, Adam, this is. I didn't think y'all could top the last time y'all were here when y'all did "Can't Buy Me Love" and "Love Don't Cost a Thing." But this, I think y'all have managed to do that. This was amazing. Thank you so much for coming on. Y'all are welcome back anytime.
Well, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, it's fun.
All right, everybody, make sure you check out A Side B Side podcast. You won't be disappointed. Always a great listen every Friday.
Of course, you know, we are big fans of a Movie Battle on A Side B Side podcast as well. So thank you so much.
No doubt. All right. Well, you guys, you both of y'all take care, and we'll talk to you real soon.
Thank you very much, Kevin.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you for listening to Movie Battle. Special thanks to Adam and Brooke from the A-Side B-Side podcast for joining us this episode. As always, you can follow Movie Battle on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you are feeling it, please leave a review and or share on social media. Recommend to friends and family. Thank you for coming correct.